Thank you. If you have your Bible, open with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, now the 34th chapter, as we're just zooming through this book. This is our 22nd message out of the book of Isaiah. There is so much here that God has for us. We're going to be looking at the 34th chapter, but just going to read a few verses to get us started. Beginning in verse 6. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made overflowing with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozra and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. The wild oxen shall come down with them, and the young bulls with the mighty bulls. Their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust saturated with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we ask now that you would take your word, that you would challenge our hearts, that you would draw us to Jesus. Father, wake us up to the need for us to be active for you. And Father, I pray that you would wake up those that do not know you, that they would understand their need for you. And Father, move in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a day that's just got a lot of things going on. And most people find themselves worried. In fact, this could be a day of worry. We worry about a lot of things. You may have been worried this week. You may be worried right now. You may be worried about how long the service will last. We worry in at least three dimensions. We worry about the past. We worry about what other people did to us, or we think they did to us. We worry about what we did or we didn't do. And the worry comes down on us and it weighs on us. And if that were not enough, we worry about things we said or things we shouldn't say. Have you ever walked away from a conversation, replaying that conversation word for word in your head? And then you think, only if I had said, or I shouldn't have said, more I shouldn't have said. And then about 45 minutes later, the exact good thing to say comes to your mind, and it's too late to say it. It's worry that fills us up about yesterday. And you know, we're not just worried about the past, we're worried about the present. Now, the present is a very small moment, but we worry about what we're supposed to say. We worry about the people we're going to be in front of. We worry about the action we are about to take, and that worry fills our mind and it weighs us down. But that's only a moment. We shift from worry in the past to worry in the present, and we worry about the future. Oh, my. What is going to happen tomorrow? And some of us stay up all night worried about what is going to happen tomorrow. So we worry about the past, we worry about the present, and we worry about the future. Most of the time, worry is pointless. Not one of us can change anything in the past by worrying about it. You can't change the present by filling your heart and mind with worry, and you cannot change tomorrow by worry. In fact, you may spend all night tonight worrying about tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen on Monday, and you die early in the morning and you don't even get to do any of it. Worry is a waste. Now, if you've been around here for very long, you probably understand this and you know ahead of time that I'm going to tell you that God doesn't want you to worry, and all worry is sin. The scriptures are very clear. The scriptures say, be anxious, do not worry about anything. Worry in its root is a failure to trust God. And the Bible is clear, anything that is not of faith, not of trust, is sin. So you've been patting somebody on the back, you've been calling your poor little old mother, you've been telling them how precious they are to worry so much about you, and you've been bragging on them for sinning. God doesn't want you to worry, but He does want you to do something. When those thoughts come, when they press down on you, God wants you to take action. He wants you to move according to His word, according to His will. Listen, if you find something in your life that you're worried about, and it's something that needs to be fixed and you can fix it, get up and fix it. Don't worry. Just do what you're supposed to do. If you said the wrong thing to someone and you should not have said it, ask forgiveness. Yeah, I know that's kind of tough, but that's what God requires. Hey, I'm sorry, I should not have said that. Will you forgive me? If something should have been done and wasn't, do it. And if there is something in your life that should be changed, but it can't be changed because it's too late to change it, go to the individuals involved and ask them to forgive you. Now, whether they forgive you or not is not your problem. Your responsibility is to try to make things right if you can. What about if they're past? What about you did something and you hurt somebody and they've already died? Then you go to God and you let God know that you understand you wronged them and you ask Him for His forgiveness and that He would help you move forward. In all cases, you put worry to the side and you take action that God wants you to take. And it's in this light, this call to action, that we come to the 34th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Here we see God's warning for the world. In verse 34, verse 1, come near, you nations, to hear, and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. Simply put, God is speaking, and you need to listen. God twice says, hear. When God says you need to listen, then you need to listen. God says, hear this. It's the same Greek word, same Hebrew word, shema, hear. Now, this is not a teenager's hearing. This is not a spouse's hearing. You know, hearing that goes in this ear and comes out that ear. All parents know teens listen that way. I'm not going to ask the teens because it's already gone through. Most spouses have been in that situation where they go on sharing something very important, and they say it, and they say it very forcefully, and later on their mate has no clue what they said because they weren't really listening. This means to hear attentively. This means to pay attention. This means to take action because of what you hear. It's listening. It's more than listening with understanding. It's listening with purpose. God doesn't speak to you to cause you to worry. God speaks to you to call you to action. Now, the Jewish people have a proclamation that they put on their door. It's called the Shema. And the Shema is scripture. It's Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Moses proclaimed that we need to listen to the fact there is one God. And you need to understand that. There is only one God. Now, not only is there only one God, he is our God. And if there is one God and he is our God, then we need to obey what his word says. Jesus drew attention to God's word in Matthew 7:24-27. He says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him to a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. In other words, it's not enough to have the Bible. It's not enough to understand the Bible. You got to do the Bible. It's not enough to wake up on Sunday morning and say, I should go to Sunday school. You need to be in the class. It's not enough to say, well, I should go to church today. You should be here. You should be where God wants you to be. You should take the action God wants you to take. God wants us on the move. James 1:22 puts it this way, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, the warning is spoken for the benefit of the whole world. It is a warning to those that have stood against God's chosen people. It is a warning against those who have stood against God's will. This is a warning to the lost. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not accepted him into your heart, my friends, spiritually, you are lost. You are lost from God. And this warning is a warning to you. But it's also a message to those of us that are saved. God will point out some horrible things that are going to happen in judgment, and they're going to happen. It is for those that stand against God and his people and his purpose. We need to listen. We need to take action. Those that do not know God need to come to know God and need to accept Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Now, while this message is primarily for the lost, as with all Scripture, he talks to the saved. All Scripture has a message for those of us who are his children, who are his believers. It is a challenge for us to take God's word and do what God says. And it's a challenge for us to get the message of God's Savior to lost people before it is too late. When is it too late? When you've lost the opportunity to talk to them. Now that might be by their moving, it might be by their death, it might be by your sickness or your death. We've got to get it done while we have the strength and while we have the voice to do it. There is urgency in these words. We don't know when the judgment of God is going to fall. It could be today, and it could fall mightily today. We don't know how long any of us are going to live. Now, looking at you, you look fairly healthy. I don't know what medicine you're on, but it's got you sitting upright, and so, you know, you should be able to live another 50, 60 years. Some of you longer than that. but probably not. You see, I don't know how long you will live. You don't know how long I'll live. Some of you are hoping I don't make it very long, and then you get out early. We've got to move for God while we are breathing, while we have opportunity, and that is now. God's desire is for us to move because there is a lost world that is going to pass, and they're going to face His judgment, and it is going to be horrible. So God sounds a very clear, horrifying warning for the saved to sound the message of deliverance to those that are lost, to encourage people to repent of their sins, to encourage people to receive Jesus as their Savior, to encourage people to follow God, to encourage people to get out of their houses and into the church, to encourage people to do what God desires them to do. And by the way, if we're encouraging, we better be doing it ourselves. And so there is a warning. And then there is God's war to end all wars. Just out of curiosity, how many of you had a relative that was in the First World War? My grandfather was in the First World War. Now, my grandfather was a mechanic in the Army. And he was a mechanic for a airplane pilot. And he kept that pilot in the air. And he served in that time. He remembered that time. But like many of that day, they saw so many horrible things, they didn't speak of that time. Now, many soldiers after that, many in the military after that, had similar occurrences and did not speak of those times. But it was so horrible. It was a different world from ours. It was a war of horses, tanks, rifles, and swords. All of those. And so in that war, it was so unthinkable that what they saw could happen again. It was titled by them, "The War to End All Wars." Only it didn't. And there have been wars and rumors of wars that have gone on since that time. But I want you to know there will be a war that will end all wars. It will be a time when God's wrath falls on this world, and it is coming. Verse 2, "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and His fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter." This will be a time when the wrath of God will be unleashed. Now it'll be a time when God moves in power and the sins of the world will be dealt with. The unrepentant world will suffer. We like to talk about the love of God. In fact, it's a whole lot easier for me to talk about the love of God. I like to talk about how He loves you and how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. What a precious thing that is. That is true. It's absolutely true. He loves us. But I want you to know God is just, and God has to move in justice. And the same God that moves in love is a God that will move in judgment. He taught that there had to be a sacrifice for sin, and He even provided the sacrifice Himself, and it would be His dear Son, Jesus. And Jesus would have to come, suffer, bleed, and die to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. That is the only way any of us could ever hope to be with God. God called the people to be His priest. And the Jews were called to tell the world of the Messiah that would come. And they failed. And so God put out another call, and that call is to the church. That is the age we are in now. We're in the church age. We're in the age where anybody that wants to come to Jesus can come to Jesus. And the invitation is there, and the offering is there. And we want every man, woman, and child to know the gospel and to come to Jesus. But how are they going to know it? Some of you live like they're going to know it because they're going to stumble into church one day and they will hear it from the pastor and they will get saved. Listen, people don't stumble into church. They're invited to show up. They're encouraged. They are brought. The only way many of your friends will ever hear the gospel will be if you get the courage to open your mouth and tell them how they can be saved. And that's got to happen. God has called us to get the message out. And if people will not respond to God's love, there will be a day to face God's anger. Verse 2, for the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations and his fury upon all armies. If you want to accept the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the peace of God, you will face the judgment of God, the anger of God, and the wrath of God. Don't think God can't move with wrath. He can. Well, Brother Jerry, that's all fine, but this is Old Testament stuff. It is Old Testament stuff. May I tell you that the same God that wrote the New Testament wrote the Old Testament? And the Word of God is important. And if you need New Testament verification, Romans 1:18, I do believe that's in the New Testament. For the wrath of God is revealed upon the heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of man. The Old Testament prophets and Jesus clearly told of a horrible time that will come called the tribulation. It's revealed in Revelations chapter 6, 8 through 9, 16 through 18. Verse 8 says, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. No wonder God tells us to listen up. This time of horror is coming, and it can be avoided, but it only can be avoided if people get right with God. At this time, all the prophecies will have been fulfilled. At this time, the world will not be ready for what's going to happen. And let me tell you, all of this can happen quickly, very quickly. There will be a rise of a confederation of nations. Well, you know, there has been. Heir to the Roman Empire. Ever heard of the European Union? Daniel 2, 36 through 35, Revelations 13, 1 through 8, Revelations 12, 10 through 14. The Antichrist will rise. He could be among us. He could be among us today. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 12. Revelations 13, 4 through 7. There will be false religions. Oh my. 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, 2, 9 through 12. Revelations 13, 11 through 15. Revelation 17, 1 through 6. Ever heard of Islam? Fastest growing religion in the world? False religion. There will be a combined economic system. Revelations 13, 15 through 17. Now, I've heard people say that that's the euro. But you know what? I had a thought. Becky and I had the privilege of going out of the country recently. And you know what? We were able to operate for most of the time in a nation that did not use the dollar because their money costs more than the dollar. And we used a piece of plastic. Could it be that the combined world financial system is credit cards or debit cards that you can use now throughout the land? whatever land that might be. All these things could swing into place very quickly from where we now stand. I am telling you, there is only one day to get people to Jesus. It's today. Then will come the battle of Armageddon that is revealed here and in Revelations 19, 11 through 21. Eden is singled out, and well, they should be. Eden was a sister nation of Israel, but it hated Israel. It attacked Israel. It attacked Judah for centuries, but now it would fall. It is a symbol of all those who stand against God and God's purpose and God's people. Blood will flow. Now, this isn't a casual death. This is blood that flows. In verse 2, he has utterly destroyed them. He delivered them for the slaughter. In verse 6, for my sword of the Lord is filled with blood. His slaughter is tied to the sacrifice of sins. Every sin will be judged. Every sin must have a blood sacrifice. These that have rejected God and God's purpose and God's will pay with their own sinful blood in that day. The animals for sacrifice will be sacrificed. The animals that are listed are actually about people that are slaughtered. Somebody might get upset. If you have a certain Bible, it will tell you that unicorns are going to be slaughtered. It's not what you think. It's something else. It's wild oxen, a one-horn creature, but anyway. It talks about satyrs, that's wild goats, and that's just, it's the translation you're using. But what he's saying is all people that have stood against God will be slaughtered. In verse 3, there will be so much blood that the dirt on the mountains will be washed away by it. Think of the blood flow that would have to be. The dead will rot and stink. The streams will be turned into pitch. It will become a furnace. Revelations 8, 16, one-third of the vegetation will be gone. One-third of the oceans will be gone. One-third of the fresh waters will be destroyed. In verses 9 through 15, it compares this judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah. You might remember Luke 17:28. We're told that the days before the second coming of Jesus will be as of the days of Lot. God gives a warning because the war to end all wars will come. Nobody will be able to hide in that day. There is only one way to prepare, and that is to have Jesus as your Savior. Then God's word shows its worth. In verse 16, seek you out of the book of the Lord and read. He says, check out my word. Check out my Bible. Check out my truth. Read it and you will see what's happening in the world. Every prophecy that has been given that should have been fulfilled by this time has been fulfilled. All Israel's enemies, Isaiah said, would fall, did fall. The northern kingdom was destroyed. Egypt was defeated. Babylon fell. Assyria fell. Judah was taken into captivity. All those prophecies given, they seemed like they were just a dream, but they all came to reality. Isaiah says, when these things start to happen, read the book. Read what God has said, and you will know his word is true. How will you know? Because you'll see he said this is going to happen, and you see it happen. There were over 300 prophecies about the first coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, all fulfilled in Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. Wow. If all God has said would happen, has happened, then all God says that is yet to happen will happen. The question I have is, what's keeping him? I mean, this world's getting pretty bad. How bad's going it be? What's stopping God from taking action today? Why hasn't he already taken it? I mean, when COVID hit, he could have taken us then. That would have been okay with me. Why is he waiting? 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only reason I can think of that God is waiting is there's still a heart out there that needs to be saved that will yield to Jesus. And that may be yours. Maybe you've put Jesus off and this is the day, and maybe God's waiting on you. Maybe there are more than just you. But you are certainly part of it. If you don't know Jesus, there is an opportunity to salvation. And you are listening and you're hearing this and you know it's true. If you reject Jesus, then you have no excuse when the destruction comes. Don't reject Jesus. God is waiting to give you that opportunity. He is waiting to give you a chance to say yes, to say, Jesus, I know that you are God, that you died for me, that you went to the cross and you were buried and you rose again all for me, and now you want to come into my heart and I receive you as my Savior and Lord. I believe in you. He's waiting on you to do that simple thing. And if you will do that, you will know Jesus as your Savior today. But he's also waiting on you, Christian. Earlier we talked about Charlie Kirk wanting to be known for standing for the faith. And as I went back through his speeches, I kept hearing him tell of Jesus, tell of being saved, giving the challenge of the gospel. Shouldn't we all be doing that? You may say, well, I don't have his platform. You don't need his platform. You just need to be willing to open your mouth when God puts somebody in front of you. If you don't know if they're going to heaven or hell, shouldn't you at least find out? And if they don't know Jesus, shouldn't you at least give them an opportunity to know him? Listen, you're not condemning them. You're giving them an opportunity to the best thing they could ever have. But if you stay silent, and that person ends up in hell because you stayed silent, what a tragedy. So if you don't know Jesus, I'm calling you to come to know Jesus. Just come forward, say, I want Jesus. And we'll pray together. You will be saved this very day, not by me, certainly nothing to do with me, all Jesus. And if you're a believer, you've got to feel the weight on your heart that there are lost people around us that need Jesus, and you've got the message. Tell them. And it may be in telling them that they will change directions and be heaven bound. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word of challenge. We thank you for the warning that you have given. We thank you, Father, that you have given us opportunities. You've given the lost opportunities to come to Jesus, and that is today. You've given those of us who know you opportunities to get busy, to take action, to tell the lost about you. Oh, Father, that you would move us in your power to your purpose. For those that are lost, Father, that they might come to Jesus today, right now. for those that are saved. God, that we would get the sin out of our lives, confess to you, and ask you, Father, to move through our lives. Father, it may be there's someone here that needs a church home. They know you, Father, but they need a church family, and this is the place. Guide them to come to become part of our fellowship. We pray these things now in Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would you come?